Mike, I'm looking outside. The snow is beginning to melt. We're flirting with spring arriving, which means...
time to look at planning summer travel.
And if you visit national parks often or have never been to a national park before, then you know how time-consuming it is to research everything involved with planning a trip to a national park, from the hiking trails to permits to campsites to accommodations. There's so much involved.
Don't spend months endlessly searching, trying to build the perfect trip when you can do it all with the Moon Travel Guide.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical and sustainable travel. They are committed to the national parks and ensure that all of their guides are up to date with the most recent and most helpful info for travelers.
And we are so excited about the newest updated edition of the Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, Hiking, Camping, and Wildlife. In this guide, outdoor expert Becky Lomax takes you through everything you need to see, know, and understand about these two neighboring national parks.
From the top experiences, driving directions, itineraries, accommodations, local businesses, restaurant recommendations, and without a doubt, the best trail info for hiking trails, this Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton has you covered.
For more information and to purchase the Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, be sure to visit moon.com.
Let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide.
Hello and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show. While our long format episodes explore one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time, Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, and environmental justice.
That's right, and this Trail Mix episode is all about wildflowers and wildflower diversity.
If you're listening to the show this season, you know that we have started our episodes now in Mount Rainier National Park, a natural landscape whose wildflower blooms are well known throughout the park system. However, Rainier is by no means the only park where we've seen wildflowers or experienced wildflower diversity.
So what other park spaces have we been in where we have seen wildflowers before?
Well, Big Bend comes to mind.
Yes, we experienced a super bloom in Big Bend.
It was amazing.
To the chagrin of our allergies.
It's true.
The both of us had a bad time.
Both of us.
Yeah.
It was like
a great time, but a
Zyrtec
bad time.
Zyrtec just stopped working.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Rocky Mountain had started blooming when we were there, mm-hmm. but wasn't fully in bloom yet because
no.
it was still late winter, mm-hmm. early spring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, we certainly saw bloom in Olympic.
Yep.
While we were there, I remember some in Channel Islands.
Mm-hmm.
We saw some in Glacier.
We sure did.
What comes to mind for you?
You've actually named a lot. Somewhere that we also saw bloom was in Tetons when we hiked Paintbrush Canyon.
Yeah.
So we definitely got some there.
Shenandoah.
Smokies and Shenandoah too. We've seen some as well. So wildflowers are in a lot of spaces, just the national parks, but there are some parks that are very well known for them. Let's begin with a simple definition of what wildflowers are and where they're most likely to be found. The term wildflower is used to describe any flowering plant that grows without human cultivation. Wildflowers are most often found in wild meadows, prairies, and other natural settings. As plants that exist without human interaction, wildflowers are plants which are uniquely adapted to the areas in which they grow. This not only includes the specific soil and climate, but other growing conditions like precipitation, sun exposure, and insect and animal interaction.
If we want to understand wildflowers a little more, it is worth noting and understanding what a native plant species is, as wildflowers would fall into this category. Native plants are specifically adapted and evolved to survive within a local ecosystem. Most native plants have done this for thousands of years. They not only provide food and help to support wildlife and pollinators, but work to help other climate-related issues like soil erosion, water filtration, and carbon sequestration.
Among native plants, there are keystone species, which have larger impacts on their ecosystem relative to their abundance. These impacts are typically multifaceted. In the case of wildflowers, they work to support an incredible amount of biodiversity in the areas they are found in.
Along with acting as food sources, wildflowers encourage biodiversity. They help with flooding, sequester carbon dioxide, and have a variety of medicinal purposes. Not only that, but they definitely add an incredible amount of visual beauty to whatever landscape they are a part of.
Let's start with the most obvious importance when it comes to wildflowers: food for pollinators and food and shelter for small animals. Wildflowers have a tremendous impact on the health of an ecosystem and an area, as they are an important source of food for pollinators like bees, butterflies, moths, wasps, and other insects. Around 35% of the world's food crops depend on pollinators to reproduce, and about 60 to 80% of the world's flowering plant species rely on insects and other animals to pollinate them. That's a ton. Wildflower meadows provide an important food source for these pollinators, who are doing the heavy lifting when it comes to helping to produce fruits and vegetables.
A variety of animals, including the American pika and numerous bird species, rely on wildflowers as a source of food as well. While birds may eat the seeds and fruits produced by wildflowers, they also benefit from the attraction they provide to insects and the feast therein. Several bird species and other small species of rodent also often utilize dense wildflower areas for nesting and shelter.
With wildflowers acting as both food source and shelter, they help to create a great deal of biodiversity in an ecosystem. This, coupled with other native plants, allows for preponderance of activity in wildflower zones. This not only helps support existing plants and animals of the region, but allows for a balanced dichotomy of species.
Wildflowers are important species in regards to flooding and erosion. This is due in great part to their expansive root systems, because their root systems are often deep and complex, like you. The soil of wildflower meadows is incredibly stable, like me. Rainwater is better retained in these areas, and because of this, wildflower habitats, just like those habitats that include native plant species, are utilized to help prevent erosion.
Because of their deep roots, wildflowers and many native plant species also play an important role in carbon sequestration. As these types of plants grow, they work to pull carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and convert it into biomass in the soil. The extensive root system of these types of plants help to sequester carbon in the soil, doing more for the earth than typical turf grass would.
Because of their seasonal nature, the cycle of life with wildflowers, their growth, dieback, and growth again, help to enrich the soil with nutrients, which also helps to support microorganisms in the soil as well. This cycle, which leads to soil enrichment, also lowers the need for any sort of chemical fertilizer.
So yeah, I mean, wildflowers are doing the work. They're like super plants here in a lot of regard.
I mean, nothing's just there to be pretty.
No.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a joke there,
there
somewhere.
Is a joke there.
I don't know what it is
mm-hmm.
yet, but there is. But there's a real serious, I mean, the circle of life is real.
Sure.
And yeah. Everything has its purpose.
It's also its balance point and its off balance point. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without
yeah.
them, we would be in a world of hurt.
Yeah. I mean,
same
think
way
about,
with bees.
Yeah.
Same way with each part of the circle
sure.
of life.
I also just think of other spaces that we've talked about that also have an incredible impact, like rainforests, you know,
yes.
we just talked about that this season too, or grasslands, which we talked about as well in previous seasons, and how important those spaces are, and how sometimes those spaces are looked at more for monetary gain than they are for the benefit to the earth and the people and the biodiversity of the region.
And I think, like, a lot of times, right, people will be like, I want to just go here because it's beautiful,
right?
It's so beautiful and I want to see all this beautiful mm-hmm. stuff. And of course, I do think that beauty is I believe it's a fundamental human need.
Sure.
I do believe we need to be surrounded by beauty and in many ways. If we're not, it like depletes our life force,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really important. I think plants understand that too,
mm-hmm.
which is why they're like, yeah, of course, we could look
we
another
could be
way,
showy.
But we can also do this,
uh-huh.
you know?
Yeah.
So, but I think as visitors to the space, I think it's always important for us to remember that all of these flowering things, all these beautiful things,
they're serving
multiple
purpose. Yeah.
purposes, yeah. and that this, we're just seeing one
mm-hmm.
side
mm-hmm.
and like how incredible it is that
sure.
that's the thing we get to see, but
mm-hmm.
making sure to give them the space they need in order to do what they need to do is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, y'all. It's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you. The splendor of wildflowers, from a visual appeal, is a great draw for many to natural spaces. From Mount Rainier to Big Bend to Great Smoky Mountains and Grand Tetons, wildflowers in the national park spaces are quite simply a stunning addition to landscapes already ripe with splendor.
But like most things, climate change is playing a major impact on wildflowers and the ecosystems that depend on them. And while there have been some plant-to-insect or plant-to-animal mismatch in timing due to blooms of flowers and emergence of animals and insects, plant-to-plant mismatches are growing more common.
This isn't like when you go on a Tinder date and you realize that you are both top-tier arguers and would just never get along with one another because you always feel the need to be right. It's more like ships passing in the night. You can't seem to sync yourselves up with each other's time.
As a sad window into Mike's dating life aside, he isn't wrong about plant-to-plant mismatch. Also, girl, that's most people's dating life, just for the record.
Okay. I can still be sad.
What scientists are currently monitoring is wildflower blooms with the leafing out of trees high above and how the shifting climate is impacting the amount of sun wildflowers get prior to being partially or more fully blocked by plants with a much taller reach.
Trees have been found to have a greater sensitivity to warming temperatures than wildflowers have, and therefore, when springs are warmer and arrive earlier, wildflowers have less time to soak up the sun and engage in important photosynthesis work, which helps them to thrive and reproduce.
A study from the USA National Phenology Network, phenology is the timing of biological events, shows that in cooler springs, wildflowers on the forest floor have more time to absorb sunlight unimpeded than those where warmer springs take hold. While this is a difference of a few days, this can have a profound impact on the life cycle of a wildflower and its development.
In meadows, where tree growth may not factor into the hindering of the growth or life cycle of wildflowers, other climate change anomalies press their impact. Specifically in the subalpine meadows, like those of Rainier, where snow and snowmelt plays an important role, wildflowers are beginning to arrive earlier and earlier.
In a study from 2009 to 2015 using photos, park snowmelt data, sensors through the park. Wildflower bloom data and visitorship, it was discovered that the earlier the melt, the earlier the wildflowers arrived, and the shorter the bloom season was.
While this earlier arrival doesn't impede the growth of wildflowers, it does make the timing for visitorship and wildflower peak bloom a little mismatched. Like democracy and whatever the hell our country is doing right now. Reign of terror?
While wildflower visitorship is an incredible draw for a park like Rainier, the lessening snow melt and the lopsided timing of these blooms in regards to animals, insects, and pollinators could have even more troubling results. And this isn't just Mount Rainier or just related to wildflowers, as the shift in the phenology of multiple species is due to shifts in the climate. However, in regards to wildflowers, while these mismatches may be slight for the time being and with minimal impact as the climate shifts more and more, the biodiversity that wildflowers help to maintain may be further thrown into chaos.
This is the bad place. Right. I mean, right? And, right. You know, climate change isn't real, though.
This is the bad place.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I can see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's, we're not talking about phenology enough, frankly. I mean, that's, timing is everything, right?
Yeah.
And so being able to have flowering plants when animals are emerging,
mm-hmm.
timed so that animals can get what they need before people show up. You know what I mean? All of that stuff is really specifically timed and has worked out for a long time.
For eons.
And now it is changing.
Yeah. Because of us.
Because of us.
Aren't we wonderful? Give us the gold star. It's important to note that wildflowers, though impressive in natural spaces like parks, forests, and meadows, are just as easy to cultivate at home. We would be remiss if we didn't mention the growing trend of native lawns or lawns made of native plants to replace turf lawn. As we mentioned earlier in the episode, wildflowers and native plants are well adapted to grow in specific areas due to their acclimation over thousands of years.
Every area of the country, and the world for that matter, has specific species of plants which are better suited for the soil conditions and climate than others. While you are more than welcome to plant a Japanese maple in your front shrub as an accent plant in the middle of Missouri, it may not be the best suited to survive in that space.
The Kill Your Lawn movement proposes a lawn made of native species, wildflowers, and keystone plants that will actively improve the biodiversity of your yard and neighborhood. By using native species rather than turf or grass, you will not only enrich your soil, help with water retention and carbon sequestration, but you will also add a safe haven for pollinators, birds, and other small mammals.
The sources for today's episode include the World Wildlife Foundation, LeaveNoTrace.org, KEW Royal Botanical Gardens, the National Park Service, PBS, and MyHomePark.com. And now let's end this episode like we end all of our Trail Mix episodes with a game.
So we're going to play a game called Wildflower Synonyms.
Oh.
And this is where I'm going to try to get you to guess the name of a wildflower by giving like synonyms to
the name.
The name. So
the
for
flower.
Example,
mm-hmm. Stood up, rose.
Sure.
Something like that.
So, and some of them may be more descriptive clues for like each word. So for example, this reddish canine relative with adornment on its hands to keep off the chill.
Is fox.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the name of a flower.
Mm-hmm.
You said reddish.
You had the first part
crimson
right.
Crimson fox.
No. Fox. I was trying to get you to guess fox.
Oh, fox.
With adornment on its hand to keep off the chill.
Fox ring?
Mm-mm. Fox what would you wear on your hands to keep...
Glove.
There you go. Fox glove.
Fox
so
glove.
It's going to be like that.
Got it.
Got it.
I'm with you.
For 100. Ordinary. Utter liquid. Mary Jane.
It's some kind of milkweed.
That's right. So what would be another, well, how would you say something that was ordinary? What would that
normal,
be?
Normal.
Yep. Another word for that. Something that's very regular.
Unremarkable.
You can find it almost anywhere.
Common
there,
milkweed.
There you go. You got it. I'm glad that you got utter liquid Mary Jane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. All right. For 200. Nighttime, proper Valentine's Day petal.
Is rose one of the
Rose is the last part.
Rose. Yep. Okay. Royal.
Think of...
You said proper.
Proper.
So I'm
think of
I
a word that might go with... A two-word phrase that might go with proper being the second word. It's also a P.
Primrose.
There you
okay.
go. Nighttime.
Nighttime. Evening primrose.
There you go. You got it.
Yeah. That I actually might get a dog and name it Evening Primrose. Call it Eve for short.
Mm-hmm.
Eve is short for Evening Primrose. Mm-hmm. That is a great name for a dog or a drag queen.
For 300, Lone Star State, sad Easter hat.
What is a... It's a Texas gloomy bonnet.
Okay.
It's not a gloomy bonnet.
No, it's a color. So it's sad.
Sad. Oh, blue bonnet.
There you go.
Okay, there we go. A Texas blue bonnet.
A Texas
this
gloomy
is
bonnet.
So much fun. I love this.
All right, for 400. Ebony, seeing organ, Sarandon.
What is the black-eyed Susan?
That's right.
Sarandon got in a fight.
Uh-huh. All right, and last one. So long. Advita saying goodnight. 1+1. Second season of the year.
What is farewell to spring?
That's right, you got it. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.